Well, this is the chance for you to jump in and get a question or a comment for Jeff Charlotte, the author of The Family. It's the very now public story of the secret fundamentalism at the heart of American power, international power as well. That's the goal, is global domination of this group that openly admires fascism, that thinks the democracy is a failed experiment, even though its group is dominated by some of the best known names in American democracy. They just don't apparently happen to believe much in the very same thing which they are elected on, the basis of their power is democracy. But they're looking beyond democracy to when democracy will fail, and then they will be able to step in and create this 1,000-year rule by the family. It's all documented in the book. You take a look at it there. You can also link up to Jeff Charlotte through our website at coasttocoastam.com. Again, sorry about the blog. I don't know what happened. Just it's missing some sort of computer program. So everything just kind of runs together. But if you missed crypto news earlier, you might be able to, you know, decipher it based on what's up on the webpage at coasttocoastam.com. Some other great stories, too, for you to look at in our last hour, too. I want to get to a couple of the Democrats that are a member of the family and find out whether there's a difference in the way in which their lives work as Democrats. We talked a lot about the conservative Republicans. What about these conservative Democrats like Heath Shuler originally from Tennessee? We'll get back to that coming up on Coast to Coast AM. This is Ian Punnett. So getting back to this, we'll get to more questions and comments from you all as they come in on coasttocoastam.com. The numbers are open, and we hope that you join the conversation here with Jeff Charlotte. And Jeff, before I get to any of the calls, let me ask you about Heath Shuler. I thought it was interesting. I'm sort of a Vols fan from a long time ago, so I followed his political career a bit. And he himself has yet to confirm that he's a member or he's a resident at C Street, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he hasn't said he is, but yet other people say that he is.
Well, no, it's a little odder than that. Heath Shuler is a North Carolina Democrat. He's a fairly conservative Democrat, but nothing to raise eyebrows. About a month ago, this magazine I've been referring to, World Magazine, this Christian Right magazine, before they launched their own investigation, and they ended up confirming everything I charged, but their first instinct was to say, oh, this is, we're going to circle the wagons. And so they wrote a positive article about C Street, in which they reported that he lived in this C Street house that's been at the center of these three sex scandals this summer in this very, very strange set of beliefs. And and there was nothing, no issue there until the scandal started heating up, and then a local paper in Asheville, North Carolina, asked him, and he refused to confirm or deny that he lived there, which is an odd, very odd response. So beyond that, we don't really know. And so I as I said, I'm very careful about talking about who's involved and how. All I know right now is we have this report that he's there, and that he, instead of just being forthright with the voters, as being secretive. And I think that means it's time to ask more questions. I think what's happening is a lot of these guys who get involved marginally, and as more and more is coming out about the really very disturbing teachings at the heart of this group, they're quite disturbed by it. Another Democrat, if you want to talk about Democrat, Senator Mark Pryor of Arkansas, very conservative Democrat, but again, nothing wrong with that. That's fine if one wants to be that. But he had been involved, and I had interviewed him about this 2 years ago for Rolling Stone magazine. And now these scandals are out. Well, suddenly he doesn't want to be associated anymore. So he tells the Arkansas Press that I had never spoken to him. I called him up and I said, my editors at Rolling Stone and I are happy to share the transcript of our conversation. In fact, I'm going to be on MSNBC tonight, and I'd be happy to share this with everybody. Well, they change their tune and they say, okay, all right, you spoke to us. Good, but could you please stop saying that we don't know Doug Coe. We don't want to know Doug Coe, the leader of the family. We don't want to be anywhere near this guy. He keeps talking about the leadership lessons of Hitler, Stalin, and Mao. Please. And, you know, instead of having the integrity to say, hey, here's a group that has outsized influence and I was snookered into it and now I'm going to stand up to it, they're just skedaddling and running.
Well, and I would think that, and this is, and I want to get to the calls right away, but I just would have thought that a senator, a congressman, has to submit where they live so that they aren't breaking any rules when it comes to like a favorable lease deal or something. That they
and that's exactly what they're getting. They're getting the families very explicit about this. They say, we created this to help politicians financially.
Right.
And yet they're not reporting it.
And I would think they would have to. I mean, if not, they can't list a non-address in Washington. They can't just say, well, I'm sleeping in my car and then secretly be living someplace. I mean, they would just seem to violate law. But anyway, let's go to the wild card line. Jill is in New York for Jeff Charlotte, author of The Family on Coast to Coast AM. Jill?
Hello. Well, all I can say is thank goodness for Coast to Coast. I guess I'm just wondering, you know, it just never ceases to boggle my mind how people can justify anything as even spiritual, because y'all want to be in power. I want to, you know, have sex with whoever I want, and my gosh, I'm doing the right thing on top. It's mind-boggling. But
right.
I started hearing you speak about this, I thought, well, my gosh, where does this fit in to the Bilderberg Group? Is this just a subset of the Bilderberg Group?
Well, you know, that's an interesting idea. And thank you, Jill. Let me actually run that by Jeff Charlotte. Are there any other of the international groups? You know, the Bilderberg Group is not a mythical group. It's a real group. And this sort of parallels that idea somehow of that secret sharing of international power and influence. Are they affiliated with anybody else, the family?
I mean, you know, they show up in all those same circles because we're talking about very, very powerful men. You know, and Doug Coe, the leader of the family, goes to Bohemian Grove and all these kinds of different networks. But,
so that,
you know, I think the important
that
distinction is that those groups are gatherings of elites. Their bottom line is simply sort of, you know, what's good for us is good for the world. The family's a little bit different because they really do have a special set of belief systems that they believe that they're working toward this long-term goal. They say the long-term goal is 200 world leaders bound invisibly together in their family to pursue this idea of a 1,000-year government according to their God. I mean, that takes them quite a bit further afield than the Bilderberg Group and the Bohemian Grove and that sort of thing. I mean, it's really it's a theology, a religion of power.
Right. Dale is in Tennessee on Coast to Coast AM for Jeff Charlotte. Go ahead, Dale.
Good morning, Ian. How are you doing today?
Couldn't be better. Thank you.
Jeff, a very interesting conversation tonight. But, you know, you're talking about these invisible groups, Ian. How about the elitists, like in the collectivists, like in Freedom Force International and Mr. Griffin talked about? I mean, these are people with real power. I mean, they've been running this country since the late 1800s, early 1900s. And, you know, they've got, like, the Rockefellers and J.P. Morgan kind of people running this stuff, which is a lot more than, yeah, the group you're talking about, I think, has got some power potential, but, you know, some danger potential. But these collectivists have got these guys outnumbered, you know, like 10 to 1.
Well, all right, Dale, let's just pick up then where Dale leaves off and say, what about some of these other big names? What about some of these, the Rockefellers and the big family names, like the Bush family? Any trace of the Bush family?
Lots of connections. Rockefeller Sr. Gave some of the seed money to help start the family. Again, that's documented. You go in their own archives and you'll find all the documentation of that. That money is there from the beginning. The Bush family is an interesting case. It's actually Bush Sr. who was more involved. In fact, Bush Sr., 1992, praised Doug Coe, the leader of the family. He says, I want to praise him for not what I'd call, I'm quoting here, this is not quite secret diplomacy, but quiet diplomacy. Well, Bush Sr. seems to have forgotten that that's illegal according to one of the oldest laws in the book, the Logan Act, which forbids diplomacy by private citizens because it's not accountable. You know, you go back and you see names and the history of the family, like Senator Strom Thurmond, Pat Robertson, we all know. Well, his father, Senator Absalom Willis Robertson of Virginia, was a vice president of the organization. You know, and when you say I think when we say that these guys aren't powerful, I don't quite know what to do with someone.
Right.
How do you answer that when you say these are people who can direct literally hundreds of millions of dollars to a foreign government? These are people who murdered a country, Somalia. They gave, you know, they helped facilitate weapons for Somalia, for Indonesia. They championed Indonesia, this dictator who killed 1.2 million people. That's a lot of dead bodies. And I don't think we can ever turn our eyes away from that. It's so important. I'm not saying that they pulled the trigger. I'm saying that they helped it happen.
Yeah, I think it's kind of a fool's game to say who's more powerful in these secret organizations. Part of what we know now is that the family has been actually much more effective at keeping themselves secret than other organizations.
Right, right.
So, I think that speaks to their real power, I think, that they've been able to stay out of the limelight.
Yeah, and I think that's a really great point. I mean, this is not a contest, you know, where fans sit there and say, I like the Yankees better than the Red Sox. What we're looking at is that there's multiple bases of power. I think we recognize left, right, middle, everybody recognizes, hey, there's some groups out there that are not playing by the rules and so on, and there's a bunch of them. And instead of saying, hey, this one's on top of that one, let's say, hey, let's shine some sunlight on the whole spectrum.
Right. Sharon's in Manitoba on Coast to Coast AM. Sharon?
Oh, hi, Ian.
Hi.
And hi, Jeff. I think that what you're doing and what Coast to Coast is doing is shining a big, big, huge spotlight on what sounds like a blatant abuse of power. I had listened to you, Jeff, on Canadian National Radio, and I remember the person asking you about the family's influence possibly here in Canada. And I just caught a little bit of it. Is there anything happening here? And hopefully their influence doesn't spread here.
Thanks for listening, Sharon. And unfortunately,
too late.
I have to report my too late. One, yeah, they have been involved with Canada for some time. And in fact, actually, after I did that program, I got a lot of great contacts. And Canadian politics up there. And all I can say right now is that there's more to come, and hopefully going to be working with CBC, which is, for United States listeners, is the big Canadian radio network, to do some more, because there has been some basically anti-small-D democratic influence in Canadian politics. Nowhere near to the extent as here, though. So I suppose that's good news for you.
Right. And yet, I would think that Canada would have been like a 2-foot putt for the family. I mean, they're working on all of these other international groups and everything that I would think that would have been an easily documentable extension.
Well, it would, but I got to tell you, I mean, you know, when I'm looking at, I mean, when as I was doing this research and going through these 600 boxes of documents, and I literally spent years working with researchers, I really had to choose where I was going to put my energy. So I focused on Germany because I was very interested in their involvement in whitewashing the records of former Nazis like Hermann J. Abbs, who became vice president their German organization until he was exposed as Hitler's banker and had to withdraw from public life. And I focused on these two examples I gave, Somalia and Indonesia, both countries that are involved in because of oil. There's oil there. There's strategic interest. I didn't end up writing about Brazil, for which they ended up championing a junta of dictatorial generals, and they helped funnel billions of dollars to that that regime and so on. I hope someone else will pick up on that. I didn't focus on their role in South Africa and the apartheid government there. But there's more work to be done. One of the great things about you do a book like this and
your publisher's going to pony up a lot of extra money to do the next book.
Well, I hope other people are, you know, what's exciting to me is to see, even domestically, what's been great is since I've been reporting on this, now I'm starting to see local reporters in places like Wichita, Kansas, and Chattanooga, Tennessee, and Jackson, Mississippi, and they're going and doing the work themselves for their local papers, their local TV stations, and going and really holding their elected representatives accountable and saying, look, you know, I believe in freedom of religion. You can believe in whatever you want, but if you are going to be a part of a cult that thinks that Hitler, Stalin, and Mao are the best way to understand Jesus, you ought to tell the voters about that and let them decide if that's something they want to support.
Wildcard line, Randy is in South Carolina on Coast to Coast AM for Jeff Charlotte. Randy?
Good morning, Ian. It's nice to talk to you. I had a question about a pretty shady character, but I always thought he was a pretty good guy. It was Charlie Wilson. I hope his name is not involved with the family.
I have good news for you. Charlie Wilson is not involved. Yeah, interesting character because he's worked behind the scenes, as we saw in Charlie Wilson's War. But no, not a part of the family.
Probably too many big busted women in hot tubs, even for the family. What do you think?
Charlie Wilson liked the good times. We can say that for him.
Interesting. Thank you, Randy. Caroline is in Pennsylvania on Coast to Coast AM. Carolyn or Caroline?
Caroline.
Okay, go ahead.
Thanks for asking. Hey, good morning, gentlemen. This group sounds like it's just one tentacle of an octopus-type organization, because it sounds like all the same handful of people are in this group, and the Bilderbergers and CFRs, and you know, a lot of the same names come up. But what I wanted to ask you about or tell you about was a short while ago there was a guest on the show who was an expert in backwards messages on records, and he talked about how Madonna's records from the early on in her career always had backwards satanic messages. And some of the messages were "All hail the family" and "I love Satan." And I was wondering if you had ever heard of that, and if you had any comments.
I'm not familiar with that. You know what I can address is what's been interesting about my research on the family is discovering that there's a certain number of self-described Christian fundamentalists. I say that with, you know, that's just how they understand themselves. And they believe, and I'm not saying this is so, but they believe that Doug Coe, the leader of the group, is the Antichrist. They look at this guy with this just tremendous international access. And I have to say, he is one of the most charismatic men I've ever met. And when you're with him, everything he says makes sense. And then you walk away and you're kind of shaking your head and you think, wait a minute, and as if a fog is lifting. So there are people who see, certainly see that this is, they see it in more than political terms, but as you say, it's much darker and satanic terms almost.
Has Doug Coe advocated for the rebuilding of the temple in Jerusalem? It's a serious question.
Yeah. No, he hasn't. One of the interesting things about the family, when we look at the history of Christian conservatives in the United States, is it's traditionally been very supportive of Israel. And the family is different in that regard. You might have gotten a clue from their involvement with former Nazis after World War II. They're not, don't have that same relationship with Israel. In fact, I would say one of their early policy defeats is that they threw all their political muscle into the opposition of the formation of Israel. In the late 40s. They are much more interested in making friends with these Muslim dictators like Zahardo and Siad Barre.
That's very interesting. And that, I would think, would be an important revelation for voters in many of the states where these C Street members originate, that they would... The voters would want to know that the organization, through you know whose largesse they are living in Washington, that organization is anti-Israel or at least sort of openly supportive of Israel's enemies. I would think again that these are things that voters have a right to know if it's true and to what degree the senator knows about it or is trying not to know about it, which may be the other thing about the members of the C Street group. All right, so we'll get back to this. More of your calls. Hang on, Tom's in Toronto on the international line, and the rest of the calls lining up next. I'll give you the numbers if you want to join the conversation, too, with Jeff Charlotte from the new book, The Family. Well, the new paperback book, The Family, on Coast to Coast AM. This is Ian Punnett. Well, it's a privilege to do this book, The Family, The Secret Fundamentalism at the Heart of American Power. Jeff Charlotte's been doing the expose work on this. I'm looking forward to The Family, too. There's got to be a sequel to this book. If there's 600 boxes full of documents, not all of which have been sorted through. And we're getting, you know, just sort of a new glimpse of what some of the power and influence might be in countries as close as Canada, too. I think that we really do just know the tip of this massive, politically influential floating iceberg, and I'd like to know more about it. I hope that Jeff Charlotte keeps up the work that he gets started here in the family. Your phone calls next on Coast to Coast AM. This is Ian Punnett. All right, let's go back to the phone calls right away, as so many people have been holding to talk with Jeff Charlotte. The family is the subject of the new book. Tom is in Toronto on the international line on Coast to Coast AM for Jeff Charlotte. Go ahead, Tom.
Thank you, Ian. Thank you, Jeff. Thank you for this opportunity. I just want to ask you, Jeff, you mentioned Somalia, Ethiopia, and Uganda in Africa. How about Eritrean President Isaias? They want to get rid of them. Can you? Do you have any knowledge about that place?
Did you say Eritrea?
Yeah.
Well, you know, the family has been very close links with the Ethiopian government for a long time. Of course, as we know, Ethiopia and Eritrea have been at odds for a long time. So that's not been a friendly relationship. They put their money on Ethiopia until there was, of course, the horrible communist regime, the Red Terror in Ethiopia, which allied itself with the Soviet Union instead. But no special links to Eritrea except a preference for Ethiopian power in the region and at any cost.
And that could change. Thanks, Tom. Let's get to Mark in Houston, east of the Rockies, on Coast to Coast AM for Jeff Charlotte. Mark?
Good morning, Ian and Jeff. Some of the other folks that have called in have described this as interesting and fascinating topic. I find it frigging incredible. This family sounds almost like the Christian version of Muslim extremists. I had two questions for you, but your call screener said that one of them that I was going to ask is going to be asked by somebody else. I haven't heard it yet, so I hope it's still going to be in the queue. But the second is, how did you get such unfettered access to the inner sanctum of this organization if they knew you were a writer?
It was precisely because I was a writer that I think they thought I was interesting. Most of the men who lived with me in Ivanwald were from fairly affluent families, fairly influential families. They came from around the world. There was a young man from the Czech Republic who'd been sent there by his father, a very wealthy businessman, made contact, same another guy from Ecuador there for the same reason. I am not from a wealthy family, just a middle-class family. But because I was a journalist, they thought that I was going to sort of be an influencer on their behalf. And frankly, I should also add that my father was a academic. He studied the Soviet Union and would on occasion lecture at the CIA. So they saw me as sort of part of an establishment that I'm not actually part of. My father was really just a small town professor. But that allowed me to do it. And then over the years, of course, they had this archive that I was able to Xerox tens of thousands of documents from.
Well, you know, I want to go back to that CIA connection. We've barely mentioned that. But there is a kind of a long history, isn't there, of a CIA involvement in the family or vice versa?
Yeah, and intelligence. I mean, you almost sort of, I mean, this gets into this interesting story. The FBI in the United States is famously and historically linked to Fordham University in New York, which is a Catholic university. It tends to be working class guys, historically, and Catholic. The CIA tends to be upper crust, elite, famously linked to Yale, Yale University, and Protestant, although, again, with no disrespect to all our Protestant friends, because what these guys are really doing is not even Christian. There have been a lot of links over the years, and one of the things that the family early on realized that they could do to have influence in foreign countries is if they could identify a man in a U.S. embassy overseas who could almost simultaneously be working for the United States and working for them. And they've had a lot of that, people who are double-dipping on both payrolls, and that's a security problem. But if they could do that, then they would have access to that government, and oftentimes that would be the intelligence officer assigned to the embassy in Greece and Spain, around the world.
It seemed like the list I was looking at, again, it's on Wiki, so I don't know how accurate it is, but it seemed to be kind of, at least in some part, kind of a who's who in intelligence west of the Rockies in California. It's Jarrett for Jeff Charlotte on Coast to Coast. Go ahead, Jarrett.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hey, Jarrett.
Jeff, my question is in regards to Blackwater, or now called Z Services. From what I understand, the owner or guy who operates that company is sort of a crazy right-wing Christian-type guy. And are there any
There's some there? Connections. There's some, that's a guy named Eric Prince in the Prince family, which is very wealthy, very secretive, and gives money to causes they support. And there has been some Prince money for the family over the years. But I do tend to think those as two separate power bases. One of the distinctions is that Eric Prince considers himself, as we now know, to be waging a sort of holy war against Islam. We now know that he believed in not so much liberating Iraq as just simply killing Iraq. It seemed to be what he was saying there in the latest disclosures. The family, meanwhile, is interested. As I say, we build new power where we can, or work with power where we can, build new power where we can. They're more interested in forging alliances with powerful leaders who are going to be useful to them, and they don't really care what those people believe, whether they're Quranic Marxist, as was Ziad Barre, or a Muslim authoritarian as like Suharto, or a Christian fundamentalist like Museveni. That power is the bottom line for them, so they're a little bit different than Eric Prince. But as we discussed earlier, it's important to recognize that there's more than one group here, and the problem is how they all work together.
First-time caller line, Dustin is in Illinois on Coast to Coast for Jeff Charlotte.
Dustin. Thank you, gentlemen, for both your work. I believe I'm going to ask that gentleman's first question I called a little bit earlier. When we're looking at Nazi Germany and the fascists in Italy and even the CIA recently, does the family have ties, which I'm assuming they do, to the black arts, meaning the like MK Ultra and Project Monarch, and creating these leaders, but also controlling, like mind control type techniques, and when they deal with the prostitutes, so to speak, they're creating these people that all integrate with one another. And what are the correlations?
Well, let's get to that. Just the idea of even mind control techniques. Do they do anything like that?
Well, there's a lot of aspects of life within the organization that are cultish and really do resemble what we think of, use a popular figure of speech, brainwashing. They talk about when you get a politician involved or just a guy like I was, when they said they want to take that personality and they want to break it. They're going to break you down until you are nothing. And they'll emphasize this again and again. You are nothing. You are nothing. You are just a tool. You need to accept the fact that you're just a tool. Now, on one hand, of course, this really just breaks a person's spirit. On the other hand, what it does is it gives these powerful figures within it a kind of a get-out-of-jail card. I mean, Senator Ensign or Governor Sanford could say, well, I'm nothing. I didn't do this. I don't do anything. And guess God is what wanted he wanted this to happen for some reason. So there is that element. And I saw one young guy who was in the group. This guy early 20s, and he'd gone off to college and he had partied a little too hard, and his parents had spoken with a congressman, Steve Large, and arranged for him to go off and live at Ivanhoe. He was a young guy, and in his case it was just fine. He got himself straightened out, got disciplined, was ready to go back and resume his life in the world. And the family said, no, no. And if you go, we're going to tell your family, your parents, that you are banished and they're not to speak to you again. And they agreed to that. And this got to be very cultish. And that, they were really trying to exert control over his sense of self. And it was a sad story.
Alex is in Texas on Coast to Coast AM for Jeff Charlotte. Alex?
Hi, Jeff. I'm a longtime listener and a first-time caller. I'm very impressed about the research that you have done for the family. I have actually some experience with the family and know some about it. I think that a positive spin or a positive work that the family has done is worked very effectively with leaders, not only domestically, but also internationally, bring some of the people to God. They're Christ-centered. They work in small cell groups. They work very effectively to to counsel or disciple some of these people to, you know, to the Lord.
Well, Alex, I have to ask you then, why keep it secret?
The reason to keep it secret is that to have access to the leaders, both domestically and internationally, you have to be invisible because of the publicity that these people have, you know, in their sphere of influence. So to have access to these people and to work with them effectively, you have to keep it, you know, behind.
You have to be invisible. You just said that you have to be invisible.
Yes, correct.
Okay, so you're calling to confirm what I'm saying, that this is a secretive group, that they believe that they have to be invisible. And Alex, I understand and I respect that you see the good intentions of the group, but we live in a democracy. We live in a democracy where you don't get to do things behind the scenes and say, well, I'm powerful and you little people don't understand. You have to be transparent. And you know, there's so many great religious groups, conservative, liberal, everything else. They do what they do in public. And they say, look, you want to look at our tax records and who we give money to and who we get money from? You can do that. The family isn't doing that. They're not living up to basic standards of accountability. So even if you thought they were doing the best work in the world, you got to be accountable to the public. It's really, that's the foundation of democracy.
Hey, Alex, why do you think the family should be able to play by their own rules?
I believe that in order to be effective in what they're doing and to access the
I didn't ask you that question. Why do you think they should be allowed to play by their own rules? We all want to be effective organizations, right? We all want to do that. So just be wanting to do that doesn't give you the right to do it.
Why should they be different? Right. You know, and I understand your point of view, and I understand, you know, just point of view. I don't believe that, you know, they should be excluded from, you know, from following the
rules. Okay, good. All right, good. Know, then we can end on a good note that you don't believe that they should be excluded from the rules either. Let's go to Andrew in Los Angeles. Oh, sorry, Carrie in North Carolina first, and then Andrew in L.A., and then whoever we can get on after that. Carrie?
Hi. Well, hopefully if their power is based on their secrecy and their effectiveness, maybe by Mr. Charlotte's work exposing them, we can try to stop them. I think this is a great show tonight that everybody needs to tune into and take very seriously. Mr. Charlotte, I heard you a few months ago and did a little research of my own into it, and I wanted to see if you could talk a little more about some of the domestic cells that the family allies itself with, such as, for example, one of the ones I found was the Denver Leadership Foundation and the Young Life Incorporated out of Colorado, and the links to Jerome Lewis of former Petro Lewis fame and the American Petroleum Institute and lots of other big
nice
oil
work.
Interests.
Nice. Yeah. You're absolutely correct about all that. That's very impressive, and I hope you will go to my website, jeffcharlotte.com, and get in touch with me. Because I would like to get in touch with you. Yeah, there's Jerome Lewis is an oil man who's given them a lot of money over the years. There's a lot of what's interesting about the family is that they've created state level organizations around the country. So in Colorado, almost at every state, they created what these governor's prayer breakfasts, an annual event the governor attends. Again, on the surface, it seems pretty innocent, but it's used by the people around it as a lobbying festival, as a way of getting access to power, as the previous caller said, invisibly and secretively, and that's how you have to get access to power. And they've been doing this in Colorado. Another one I've been looking at is out in California, where this is great news as far as I'm concerned. The guys taking the lead on the fight against this is a Christian organization. They also want to have access to power. They also want to be able to influence congressmen or politicians, state politicians, for their version of Christ. But you know what? They do it publicly. And if you want to see their financial records, they show them to you. If you want to know what they believe, they're glad to tell you. So they've been taking the lead on fighting the influence of the family in California because they're saying these guys aren't democratic. It doesn't matter if you're left or right. In a democracy, we do things out in the open. Same thing out there in Denver, and I would love to be in touch with you more and learn about your research.
Andrew is in L.A. Wildcard line as our time is dwindling with Jeff Charlotte on Coast to Coast. Andrew?
Hi, Ian. Hi, Jeff. Great job, Jeff. Question to you is twofold. Number one, are there any evangelists or tele-evangelists who are associated or behind the scenes working along with this organization? And number two, Does this not sound like something like when you were talking about earlier, something like the Shades of the New World Order, or just another?
Actually, funny you should mention New World Order, Jeff. Go ahead.
Yeah, New World Order, going back to 1945, the end of World War II, the founder of the group, Abraham Baraiti, said, "We are entering a new world order." He used the term that early. He said, "The D-Day has come." They later coined a term they called worldwide spiritual offensive on behalf of this new world order. And again, when we talk about that thousand-year government they're building, that sounds familiar, doesn't it? That kind of that kind of thing.
East of the Rockies, Steve is in Florida on Coast to Coast AM for Jeff Charlotte. Steve?
Hey, real quick, what do you know about Bill Nelson and his wife's involvement with that group?
Yeah, quite a bit, actually. A former member of the group who had been quite influential in it until he realized what they were really doing, and he was an honest Christian man, and he quit. He'd been a very prominent lawyer in Florida politics, and he shared his archive with me, which included extensive papers of Bill Nelson, who was a Democrat from Florida. Pretty hapless guy, I got to say. Bill Nelson is not the brightest bulb on the porch. His wife is widely considered the brains behind that operation. She has been very influential, and in fact was my researchers and I interviewed her for the book. She was involved with creating a prayer cell around Hillary Clinton, of all people. And Hillary Clinton, by own admission, when she came to Washington, had a prayer cell organized for her by Doug Coe, of women with whom she shared very few political affiliations, mostly conservative women. But, the Nelsons, they were in power, they lost power, they turned to the family, they sort of got a hold of the Florida State prayer breakfast and organizing that, and were able to use that to sort of lobby themselves back into power and do it quietly behind the scenes. And Grace Nelson said as much herself. She said, anyone can join as long as they obey Jesus as we understand them. That was in effect her argument.
Everybody can join except her, because she's a woman.
Oh, women can be part of it, but they have different roles, you have to understand.
Right. I understand.
But there's always a few women, because in the same way that they're happy to work with a Muslim dictator, if there's a woman who's very powerful, it's that power that's always the bottom line for them.
Our bottom line is we have about 20 seconds for Jean in California, so she's got to be super fast. Jean? You're going to get one chance here for a question.
Real quick, Jeff, what do you think about Lauren Cunningham's involvement in the whole Christian organization called YWAM?
YWAM actually owns the deed to the C Street House, and we're starting to do some investigations into them. There's been allegations of running orphanages where rape is involved in Thailand and Brazil and so on. So YWAM is linked in, and that's a great question. That's the next story.
Okay. Jeff, I want you to raise your right hand and pledge to me that this won't be the last we hear from you.
I promise you, there's more to come.
I think it's fascinating. If you'll pardon me, and I know a little bit about where you stand religiously, but I will just say, I think you're doing God's work.
Thank you. Thank you. And, I very much appreciate that.
And I just, I hope you help. If nothing else, keep these guys honest, and we'll be watching the latest on the family. We'll get back to it sometime soon, I know. Jeff Charlotte, that's the book. Link up to him through coasttocoastam.com. In the meantime, Deus Tamat, and I do too.